Good evening. We'll start off, we'll read the Blake family's church planters to Welch, West Virginia. Anybody know where Welch, West Virginia is? Three of you. Okay. You'll be glad you don't. No, I'm kidding. Let's pray for Pastor Mike Blake, and this is from December 23rd. It says, over the past few months, we've had some great growth among the folks here in the church. Following our back-to-school revival in October, we have seen a huge increase in our youth group. Praise the Lord. Due to the great number of teens we have had coming, we started an additional night each week. We now, on Monday nights, have a teen group where we focus on issues they're facing. Each week, we've had over 12 teens come out on Mondays to be with us. And on Thursday nights, it seems like each week we're having new kids come. This past Thursday, it took about both of our church vans and two personal vans to pick up all the young people that wanted to come. We've had record-breaking 39 kids attend our youth group. Many of the kids coming during the week have asked about coming on Sunday as well. We've started running the van for all of our services in order to pick up the kids who want to come. Praise the Lord. Through all the outreach, we've seen 10 young people give their life to Christ in our services. Praise the Lord for His goodness. In December, we did a backpack giveaway. Maranatha Baptist Church, Rich Creek Baptist Church, Taze Valley Baptist Church, along with many others, partnered with us. We were able to hold it at the Armory. We had pizza and snacks, and every child who came received a backpack full of non-perishable goods as well as Christmas gift. Evangelist Richard Harper came and preached for us, and praise the Lord, 28 people accepted Christ as their Savior. We're able to get a follow-up on information on each person. And after a holiday, we plan on contacting them to try to disciple them and see them start to come to church. Glory to God for His goodness. We had another family that started to attend our church on a regular basis. This brings us to 7 families, including our who call Living Hope Baptist Church their home. We're excited to see not only the physical growth, but the spiritual growth as people are coming and growing and desiring to serve. With the growth, especially the increase in our youth, we're running out of room. Our fellowship hall is small, and we will fill it each week due to it being wintertime. We aren't able to play games outside, and we have a limited space for activities and game time. If we had some type of gym or multipurpose building, we could use it for our not only for our youth, but other outreaches. To our knowledge, no church in our area has such a building. One of the things we would desire to do is to have a basketball league as an outreach for the community. Obviously, this would be a huge undertaking. However, we know that this is the Lord, that it is the Lord's will that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. We would have you pray with us and for wisdom, and the Lord would provide a place for our children who are coming. We want to thank you all for your faithful prayers and support for ministry here in our family. We hope that you and our families have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we're looking forward to a little downtime with special family time and celebrate our Savior's birth and Merry Christmas. Mike Michelle Blake. He was our missionary to the prison and then took the church down there and started that church. Amen. All right, so Pastor gave me a list here. There are a couple here to add on to our prayer list, and we'll start off with that. We do have an unspoken request by Caroline. And then Julie's uncle, Fred Van Gilder, is he in the hospital?
He's already on
the list. Okay, so he's on the list. And then Kathy Davis has lung cancer, really bad. It's Kathy Davis. And then Donald Wiseman Jr. has diverticulitis surgery as soon as possible. So please pray for Donald Wiseman for surgery, Kathy Davis for lung cancer, and then Caroline's unspoken, and then continue to pray for Julie's uncle, Fran Van Gilder. Okay. Anybody else have anything to add this evening? Yes, ma'am. What was that?
Going on,
Okay, absolutely. So Nanjing family, they're getting over COVID, so for their health, and then they're moving their church location to their residence. So be praying about that, and that the Lord will open up a door there for them to find a new place. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. So, your cousin? Okay. So that was Brother Jeff Sims' cousin, Jenny Wilson, took her last cancer treatment, and Jeff says she's doing progressively better. So praise the Lord for that. My dad, who's on the list here somewhere, Bernard Fox, in the middle on the left-hand side, he's going to, as far as I know, unless something changes, he is going to be having his knee replaced on the 10th of January. And then Amy's dad is supposed to have sometime in the near future, a month or so, have his name is Ron Boyd. I don't believe he's on the list here, but Ron is going to be having his knee replaced as well. Pray for that. And I know we're looking on the list here. Prayer advance for the men is coming up at the end of the month, last weekend of this month, I think. Yes, it is. And be praying for those of us who will be going for that. And the ladies' prayer advance is sometime in the spring as well. Be praying about that. So Sam will be going back to college here in 2 weeks. And I don't know if anybody else is going back. Maybe I should go back so I can read and talk, right? But just be praying for each other and pray for Pastor. We'll pray that Pastor gets better and we can hear him, right? Okay, Pastor.
I want to mention a couple other things concerning our prayer list. I took all the names or initials of those with unspoken off. I think some of those had already been dealt with and were still on. So what I want to do, since we're in a new year, if you have an unspoken request, just lift your hand and I'll take that at this time. So if you have an unspoken, okay, Heather. Anyone else? Unspoken request. Okay, so if you're at home, you either can call the church office. Chris has stepped out of the sound room right now for Awana. But if you'd like to just contact the church office, we'll put your names on if you have any special requests that you'd like us to pray for as far as unspoken goes. On the physical list, just want to encourage you to pray much for Lori Stiles. And you'll see her name there, Lori Stiles. This is the niece, probably in her 40s or 50s, of a pastor here in our area. And she's been on a ventilator now for 20-plus days. And she is a mom, so she's still in need of much prayer. And then Rebecca McKinney at the top of the list. Rebecca is still struggling with cancer. And I don't think there's been any improvement at all here in the last few months. So this is Donna Horan's daughter. Donna, of course, travels back and forth between here and South Carolina. And so just needs a lot of prayer, both Donna and her daughter especially. On the special needs, if you'd add my son, Corey. Corey and Bethany and their children moved yesterday to Louisville, Kentucky. And today, I guess, was his first full day of work at the Chinese church there in Louisville. And be a very unique ministry. And so if you would pray for them, that God would help them get settled in. And they arrived. They sat in rush hour traffic for a long time when they got into Louisville. Got to their house about 8:15, 8:30. Found out the water still had not been turned on. So they had to spend a night in a hotel. But they had three couples from the church there to help them unload. And the folks brought them dinner that night. So they had it was actually a good start. So just continue to pray for them. Now, we list all those who are missionaries with health needs on the back. So just want to remind you of that. When you pray for the sick, don't forget the missionaries in the back. And, of course, we've been focusing a lot on Alethea Wilt, the 7-year-old daughter of David and Elizabeth there in New York City. They have the Liberty View Baptist Church that they started there in Staten Island. And, of course, she is going through chemo treatments with leukemia. You'll see once in a while an update on her condition. So it's going to be a long haul for this family and, of course, for Alethea. So continue to pray for her as well as the others who are listed there on the missionary needs physically. So, all right. Just mention, of course, I wasn't here Sunday, so we did not get to start our new theme for this year, our new series. So that'll start Sunday. And I always look forward to that. I was excited about doing it. And then this came along. So anyway, what do you do? You just go forward. Hey, Grant. Okay, so the Bennett family, pray for them, for just God the work to bring comfort and help to them. But Charles. Yes, I agree with you. Of course, the drug epidemic and suicide rate, you know, all these things that are affecting young adults, you know, teenagers and children. So you're right. Just really need to focus on them and ask God to do something special through us to know how to minister properly to them. So hearing the Blake's letter, you know, that was encouraging to me to hear that God is using them. That is a rough area, just to be blunt with you. But God's using them, and praise the Lord for that. So ask, you know, not only pray for young people, but pray for wisdom. Still, again, asking God to bring the right man here to meet that need in our church, the church that Corey is at, the Chinese church. They've gone for 2 years without someone over their youth or their young adults. So Corey will focus on both of those. So I'm hoping that as God had supplied for them through my son, that God will supply someone here soon. So keep praying that way. There's still the possibility of one person. And right now, I don't have any other contacts with anybody. So just pray God will bring the right person here for that. And I'll mention one other thing real quick. I grew up with a family called Roar. All of their children really, and the whole family has really served the Lord. A gentleman by the name of Keith Wiebe passed away here back in December. Keith pastored, I can't remember the name of the church, a very large ministry in Huntington. Keith grew up in the church I grew up in. And one of our young people, Jennifer Burton, actually attended that church while she was in college down at Marshall. Very effective church. My home church tried to get him to go and pastor at Canton, and he chose not to do so, or the Lord, you know, did not have him do so, but got to hear him preach at a pastor's fellowship. Well, anyway, make a long story short, he passed away. And then another one of his family members, Don Rohr, who worked for Creation Research out in California, passed away unexpectedly just a few weeks ago. And now her family member, Sharon Rohr, passed away yesterday with COVID. She was 70, but she was basically a music director at my home church, and fabulous, fabulous musician, just top notch. And of course, just remember her especially because she would play for our family and all those things over the years when I was growing up. So if you think about it, you don't necessarily have to add the name to the prayer list, but the Rohr family, they've lost a lot of people. And at least, you know, the praise is they were all serving the Lord and really honoring him. But that's part of life as you grow older, isn't it? But the good news is, you know, we got a home in heaven waiting for us. And just praise the Lord for that. All right, well, let's take our Bibles tonight. And I don't know how long I'll go with this. Probably when I'm done here, I'll just slip out. I'll probably have done enough damage to my voice to have to wait till Sunday to get back to where I need to be. But anyway, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And we'll at least go through part of this tonight. Very simple thing. But I need it for myself, maybe more so than anybody else here tonight. So I don't know if this will benefit you much, but I need to hear this. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord, for caring for us. And thank you for the hope that we have. We hear about the Bennett family, and we hear about the Rohr family. We hear about this young lady who died in her early 20s. And Lord, those are grieving things. Those are heartbreaking things. It doesn't matter if a person's in her 20s or in their 70s. To know that someone has passed away for us here is a difficult thing. But I praise you, Father, that people like Sharon and Don and Keith were born again. They loved you. They served you. And now they've gone to their reward. Now they have total peace and total healing. So, Lord God, help us not to grieve without hope. Lord, help us to realize that this is not the best part of life. With you is the best part of life. And we have that to look forward to. But we do ask for comfort for these families. We do ask, Lord, that you would work in the lives of these who have so many tremendous needs. Rebecca McKinney and Lori Stiles. And we think about Don Myers with his battle with cancer. And think about so many folks in our church, Lord, that have tremendous needs, that you'd work in their lives. And that this year of 2022 would not only see a physical healing, but just a spiritual renewal in all of us. And Lord, just as was mentioned here tonight, the need to see the fact that so many young people today are really without hope, and you know, many factors in that, but God, that you would help us, with or without a youth pastor, to know how to properly minister to the young people that you've given us the opportunity to affect their lives. Give wisdom in this area. Lord, help us to honor you even in that. To be honored tonight with the teen ministry, to be honored tonight with the Awana ministry, to be honored tonight with what goes on here and in the nursery. Just let everything that's done please you. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that discouragement touches every Christian. I don't think it's something that anyone does not struggle with at times, but the reality is that is true for some more than others. I think there are some people who are geared, so to speak, to not really be much affected by it. Now, we don't rely on psychology for solutions to discouragement, but I think it would be foolish for me or for you to altogether ignore the psychological side of a thing like discouragement. What I mean by that is this. Again, I think some people are more prone to discouragement than other people are, just because of their psychological makeup. And that is not a slant toward the worldly philosophies nor is it a jab at the spiritual end of man. Just the reality that people have a different psychological makeup. And for some, they get easily discouraged. I would put myself in that category. It is just, again, if you want to use this term, a natural phenomenon. There are just some people who are more easily discouraged. You might be able to easily discard discouragement. It may be something in you that you say, hey, nothing really bothers me. I just, you know, I'm bulldog determined, and, you know, something bad, negative happens, I just push it aside, discard it, and go forward. You know what? That's great if you can easily dismiss things that would discourage others. I mean, and I'm sincere about that. If you have that God-given type of a personality that you don't get easily discouraged, that's wonderful. And I wish I were geared that way. I really do. But there's a reality that many people are not. Sunday, of course, I tried to watch our service, and then the internet was out here, so I didn't get to see our service. So I watched another church here in the area watch their service. And then later in the day, we watched a movie about the life of William Carey, the great missionary to India. And it was a very forthtelling type of movie. Someone had probably done a ton of research into the life of William Carey. Of course, there are certain things I knew. That I knew he had a child that died on the field. I knew his wife had died on the field. I knew that there were many discouraging years to begin with, very, really no fruit for many years in India. But they went into details that I had never heard before. Of course, at that time, the British were basically ruling over India. So he had to contend with the British government and with the local Indian governments. Of course, the Indians, even today, as a government, as a Hindu government, are very anti-Christian. And there is certain areas of India that are heavily persecuted today. Well, that was probably even more so back in the days of William Carey. So he had all this to contend with, plus a wife. I'll just be blunt with you. She did not want to be on the mission field. She was very discouraged when he said, we're going. And she obeyed, but it was difficult for her. And then when she saw the death of her child, that just kind of broke her back emotionally and mentally. So William Carey dealt with a lot of negativity, and the portrayal in the movie, and I think it was probably an accurate thing, is it showed William Carey get discouraged. It would show him go out and just sit alone and plead with the Lord, what's going on? Why are these things? I came here to give you my life. I came here to bring the gospel to the Indian people, and none of these Indian people will even listen to me. So you know how famous William Carey became. You know that he was greatly used of God to have a great gift in languages, and he developed many translations into different dialects and languages of the massive nation of India. God greatly used him, and many were brought to Christ eventually. But it appeared by what was portrayed that even the godly, sold-out missionary William Carey fell prey at times to discouragement. Now, for years, I did not know this. In fact, it's been recent years that I learned this, that the man they called the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who every Sunday stood in front of an auditorium packed with 10,000 people in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. He was called the Prince of Preachers because by many people's estimations, he was the greatest preacher who has ever lived, maybe since the time of the Lord Jesus himself. Powerful preacher. We constantly access his messages even today. I would imagine, Brother Electric, you may have, you know, his commentaries, things like that. You know, they're just great, great preacher, great man of God. Now, the point is this. He was a manic depressive. He battled manic depression. You know, he wasn't the kind that just easily shook things off. He dealt with depression. He dealt with discouragement. You say, how could you get discouraged building a ministry like that? You know, you are speaking probably to the kings and the queens of England. You are headline news. Everybody well respects you here and on the other side of the pond, you know. But he battled those things. So when you think about this, you sit amongst a group of people, and some, they are emotionally geared to be able to easily fight off discouragement or depression. And you are dealing with others in the congregation, your brothers and sisters in Christ, who get greatly discouraged. Now, I had a conversation not too long ago with an individual, and they were kind of getting on another Christian. They were upset with this other Christian. And this thought came to mind after my conversation was, did you ever consider what that other Christian might have been going through at the time that you became offended with him? Maybe that Christian was very greatly discouraged, and maybe they had a terrible day when you engaged them in conversation. Maybe they were struggling, and the reason they reacted toward you was not because they're not right with God, or they're backslidden or whatever. It may not have been the reason. It just may have been they're struggling themselves. And I say that because when you walk in here, I mean, even tonight, you can't tell the person behind you or in front of you whether they're in discouragement. Now, sometimes those things come out in our yes, in our countenance and our spirit. You know, sometimes those things become a little more obvious, but many times people try to cover those things. So the point is, you know, a lot of Christians struggle with things like discouragement or even depression, and it is not easily a cast off. Nevertheless, the answer for a Christian is not in psychology. It's not in the psychologist or the psychiatrist. Now, I may disappoint you with this. I'm not opposed to them. I think they have their place. Now, one of my nephews is studying it now for his doctor's degree at East Carolina University. He will become basically a psychologist or psychiatrist. He's working in a mental hospital. Now, he's a born-again Christian, loves the Lord, and hopefully that slant will always be there in his practice. But I'm not opposed to those who can help people mentally, no more than I'm opposed to a doctor who can help someone physically. Depending on how they approach it, you know, determines whether the way they do things is right or wrong. But I'm not opposed to those things. Nevertheless, that's really not the answer. No more than the surgeon or the doctor is the answer when you're sick. The answer will always be the Lord. It will always be the Lord. And for those of you who may struggle in this area, your answer will always be in the Lord. Again, there are times where people have chemical imbalances in their brain and that they have to have medications. I'm not opposed to those things. But the answer is always in the Lord. He may use those things to aid people, but the answer is always in the Lord. So here's some simple things tonight I'm going to give you in regards to the thoughts of dealing with discouragement. And the first thing is this, just remember the past. Remember the past. Now, looking at most of us, it's not going to be a chemical imbalance issue. It may not be something where maybe you inherited a mental disease from a family line, something like that. Some people do. We know that. But let's just say it's just discouragement. I think one of the things in the eyes of the Lord that is so important is that you remember the past in two ways. First, remember the devastating impact of discouragement. If you as a Christian don't take steps to get control of discouragement, it can have devastating effects. It could lead. You know, we just think about this young woman. Was it, you know, was it disease or was it, you know, a suicidal thing, whatever it may have been? You know, we know a lot of people turn now to suicide because they can't handle depression or discouragement. And you got to understand, if you don't allow the Lord to help you get a control of this, it can have devastating impacts. And just as a, by way of examples, you look here at Numbers chapter 32. And I want you to look at verse 8. Numbers 32, verse 8. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. Now, I bring this to light because there's no indication that there was any genetic issues with these people. It was not a chemical imbalance. It was just plain out, somebody did something that upset them. Somebody did something to them that discouraged them. And very evidently, from verse 9, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. They discouraged them so they didn't obey God. And the devastating result of that was God said, you're not going to get victory because you're not going to the land of victory. You're not going to Canaan. You're going to take another 40-year lap around the wilderness and you're going to die there. You realize there are Christians who are living a wilderness experience. This correlates with Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, where he says about entering into rest. And he said there are some believers that never enter into rest, that ultimate state of just simply believing God, God, whatever you say, no matter the circumstances, no matter the problems that may arise, God, I believe you. They never entered into rest. And today, God uses this illustration in the book of Hebrews and in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe, to say this is an example to you. Don't let yourself stay in discouragement. What happens when we get discouraged? One of the first results for a believer is they cease to trust God and then they cease to serve God. What happened to these people? Same thing. And what was the result? They lost out on all the blessing that God wanted to give them. And they led miserable lives for the next 40 years. And they died. That's not the way you want to live life. You don't want to linger in discouragement. Now, when you look at the Word of God, and I said this to somebody the other day, one of the things that so attracts me to the Bible is just the reality of people's lives. It's not like reading fictional books in which, you know, good things happen all the time to the heroes, kind of, so to speak. Well, in a way, Christians are the heroes of the story. We're the children of God. We're the people of faith, you know, all those things. We get to go to heaven. You could say that about Abraham, the father of faith. You can say that about David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. You can say that about Joseph and on and on. But when you read their personal lives, what do you find? You find problems. You find heartache. And sometimes you find them in discouragement. But what happens with those people? They don't stay there. You don't have to stay in discouragement. You don't have to live there. But one of the keys is this. You got to remember the past and realize if I choose to linger, wallow in discouragement, this is what's going to happen to me. There's too many places in Scripture that are evident of this. Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1. And look at verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. How many times does that kind of mindset enter into a person who becomes depressed or discouraged? God hates me. God hates me. That's not true. If you sit here tonight and you're discouraged about some things, I won't even call that sin. I don't think becoming discouraged is sin. Wallowing in discouragement and letting it lead you to the conclusion that God hates you is sin, because it's simply not true. Verse 28, it says, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, this people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. God said, I'm going to take care of you. And Moses tried to convince the people, God's going to take care of you. But they chose to linger in this attitude of discouragement. They chose to allow themselves, they convinced themselves that God had hated them. God's against me. I hope you don't feel that way tonight, because that's not true. And then look at verses 32 through 35. Verse 32, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in, and fire by night to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Now, consider this. Discouragement is one evidence of unbelief, and it furthers unbelief. When I wallow in discouragement, I am saying to God, I don't believe you. And all that does is further the depth of unbelief. And we cannot afford that. So I think one of the keys is you got to remember the past, even the negative side, looking at the devastating impact that discouragement can have, but also remember past victories. The past victories that can help you overcome discouragement, because that's what you find God's men and women doing. They would go back when they were in the midst of discouragement. They would run back to the times that God gave them victory over discouragement. Of course, you know, there are a lot of classic thoughts, but I want you to go back to Psalm 78, the 78th Psalm. The 78th Psalm. I'm going to read here the first seven verses. Psalm 78, verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, I've used this passage, and you've heard other men use this passage to really enforce the importance of a father being the kind of father he ought to be, and gathering his children around them and teaching them the Word of God, living the Word of God. You know, it parallels what God taught Moses. You know, you are to talk of these things in the way, when thou standest in the way, when you sit in your house, wherever you are to teach your children the Word of God. You're to live the Word of God in front of them. So you've heard me use this passage in the past, and it's certainly appropriate for that. But what I want you to see is this. God said, I want you to get your children in the habit of remembering. And I want you to be in the habit of remembering all the good works I've done for you. Now, if we stopped and we just took our time tonight, all of us in this room could begin to speak of the good things that God has done for us in our past. Miraculous things, overwhelming things, great blessings in answer to prayer. Every single one of us, how would I know that? You're a Christian. And God loves His children, and God does good things for them. But you know what when I struggle with discouragement, what I tend to do is this, is to shut myself off to past blessings. I just forget about them. It's kind of like that mentality, like if you're a Steeler fan, you know, you're used to all these championships. And now when you look at the Steelers, it's what have you done for me lately? Forget all the Super Bowls we won back in the 70s, 70s and 80s and 90s. What have you done for me lately kind of thing? And that's the way I think sometimes we are with God. We don't remember the past. And God says, no, you don't understand. Sure, I want to work in your life now, but I don't want you to forget the things of the past, because those blessings from the past might do exactly what verse 7 says and give you hope. What happens to a person that gets discouraged? They no longer have hope. They no longer have hope. You and I cannot afford to forget the past. We dare not forget the past of the devastating results of, in a sense, rebelling against God, lingering in discouragement. And we should never forget the past blessings that God has given us, because that may be the very thing that helps get you past that attitude of discouragement. This next part's real short, so I think I'll just finish this tonight instead of waiting until next week. I'll make sure my voice finishes here. I'm having counsel with my voice vocal cords to keep going. It's not just remembering the past, negative or positive, but it's remembering the person. Remember the past, yes, but remember the person. When I speak of the person, I speak of remembering God. In Psalm 54, I want you to look there. So go back to the 54th Psalm, and I want you to look at verse 1. Psalm 54, verse 1, and I bet I wrote the wrong reference here. I may have written, maybe. I know I'm going to read to you Psalm 34, verse 4. So maybe that's where I wanted to go instead of 54. Let me look here real quick. Sometimes I double check things before I step in the pulpit, and sometimes I don't. But anyway, you can look over at Psalm 34 and look at verse 4. Of course, this is David speaking. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And we'll just go back to verse 1. This may have been what I was thinking of. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. One of the things that brings so much discouragement to a Christian are our fears. And every Christian has them. Every Christian has fears. And throughout the Psalms, where you find not just David, but any psalmist, Asaph or who it may have been, they learn to take their fears and give them to God. And that can only happen when you remember the person, when you remember God himself, when you allow God to do a work, because quite frankly, you know, he's the only one that can deliver you. And that brings me to a very famous statement, and you know this, it's found in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel and verse 6. You don't have to turn there, but you know, David had been running for all told about 13 years. He's anointed as king of Israel by Samuel at 17, around 17. And he won't take the throne until he's 30. And so for about 13 years, he has to run for his life. And it got to the point where David became so discouraged, he actually forsook his own homeland and lived in Philistia for a good period of time. So much so, and here I think you see God's great mercy, he actually pledged allegiance to the king of Gath and was going to go fight his own people. And I think he was going to do it. If the Philistine leaders would have said, sure, we know he's a great warrior and he is broken with his father-in-law Saul, let him join in the fight. I think he would have done it, but God in his mercy kept David from that great error. There was a couple times in David's life where God kept him from great error. And that was one of the occasions. But, you know, the point is this. When David was refused opportunity to fight with the Philistines, said he went back to the city that the king of Gath had given him, back to Ziklag. And remember what happened when he got back to Ziklag? What had happened to Ziklag? You tell me. Yeah, it was totally destroyed. They'd come in and burned the city and taken every inhabitant out. And miraculously, they didn't kill anybody. They just took them all prisoners, going to make them slaves. And so they're on their way back to their homeland. And David would eventually rescue them by the Lord's guidance. But when they got back to Ziklag, they were emotionally torn down, physically worn out. Those men and David were discouraged. And what happened? They said, we're going to stone you to death. David could hear the men talking in small groups around him, said, we've had this. We've had it with David. We've been with him all these years, and this is what we get. Now we've lost everything. Let's just kill him. Let's stone him. And David could hear the men talking. You know, you can kind of understand it because they're grieving. What did David do? Verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. It wasn't just David giving himself a pep talk. It was David remembering the person of his God that gave him victory over Goliath. It was David remembering the person of God who had anointed him to be the king of Israel. It was David remembering the person of the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And folks, listen. You say, you know, when I get discouraged, I just have a hard time remembering all the great victories of the past. Well, okay. Take opportunity to memorize from the scripture as much as you can about God himself and about the things that God has personally done, not for everybody else, but for you. And meditate on those things so that when those moments of discouragement come, you go back and you think about God. You know, it's kind of weird. If you're having a bad day, and for all of us who are grandparents now, you know what's really neat? Grabbing a folder with all their pictures in it, or now you got the cell phone that has a million pictures of your grandkids, you know, and all these little, sometimes when you're down, just looking at those little children's faces and their smiles and their laughter, you know, just kind of, it's a pick-me-up, isn't it? Sometimes you just need to go back and just look at the face of God. Remember God, and it will help you deal with discouragement. So I hope that there's some practical benefit in what has been said tonight, because I do know this. A lot of us deal with discouragement. It's not an unusual thing. It's unusual only in the way that we approach it. Are we going to give ourselves over to it and allow it to overwhelm us and defeat us and keep us from being what we ought to be? It doesn't have to be that way. So I trust that this has been help tonight to you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege of having this blessed book. And I thank you for what I consider just some simple things that you reveal to help us to know how to deal with a very difficult area for some folks. Lord God, I pray that we would always show an air of sympathy toward people, not attempt to allow them to wallow in discouragement, but just be sympathetic toward them, because we all face it at times. And maybe, Lord, folks here have found that answer to overcome, and if they have, praise the Lord for that. But Lord, help us to, one, for our own benefit, latch on to these things. Secondly, to be able to help someone else when they're discouraged. Just sometimes when there's a death in the family, when there's a loss of job, when bad news comes, it's very, very difficult not to become discouraged. And you've revealed in your word that many of your children became discouraged but never stayed in discouragement because of you. So God, help us to apply these simple truths to our lives. Do all we can to help others in this realm as well. Now, Father, as prayer is made for the needs of this ministry and for the people that are on the list tonight, pray just work to answer prayer. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and prayer tonight.